Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Predators captain and Norris Trophy contender Roman Josi. So looking forward to that conversation coming up here in a few minutes. I saw you just looking at the TV. Did you see Giannis last night open his press conference with a book of dad jokes?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I was wondering what the book was. I couldn't tell what it was. It's just a book full of dad jokes. Is that guy the most awesome guy
ever?
He was
like, what do you call something like a cow laying on the ground? Like ground beef. That's what he did. That's how he opened his press conference.
God, did you hear my laugh right there? Yes. Jeez. Should have stayed home. Sorry. Hey,
it's all good.
Get you sick.
Big win for the Preds last night. They went 4-1 against the Ottawa Senators. Tanner Jeannot scores his 23rd goal of the year. Two goals from Michael McCarron last night. Big 2 points against the Senators. Not, obviously, I mean, if you're the Predators with where you are in the standings and where Ottawa is in the standings, you should win that game, especially at home. But nice to see them go out there and take care of business last night. And probably more importantly, nice to see UC Saros come out and play really well. We've documented his struggles this week. In 6 of his 7 starts heading into this game, he had given up 3 goals or more, .889 save percentage. He looked like vintage UC Saros last night. Very good in net for the Predators.
And if you didn't watch the game, you could say, yeah, okay, great. He had a nice night against the Senators. Well, the Preds had 5 penalties in the first period. The only goal the Sens scored was on a 5-on-3, and he had a nice 2-on-0. He had Tkachuk had another breakaway. He had serious primo chances early in the game that he was having to repel. He was very good.
Apparently, we're going to have to circle back on the rope and Josi front, so we'll keep you updated on that front.
Are Josi and Izzo possibly, are they having like a conference together?
Maybe so. I mean, I promised a Hall of Famer today in Izzo, maybe future Hall of Famer in Josi, and we're going to have Vingan.
Vingan wanted the spotlight.
Vingan is in our Hall of Fame right as we speak. Does Tom Izzo know who Roman Josi is? Does Roman Josi know who Tom Izzo is?
I think which Josi is more likely. Probably is more likely because like Kevin Wilson and Nick Barnowski probably talk about Izzo all the time.
Oh, good Lord. That's a good point. Those guys with their Sparty.
Preds PR.
I mean, I bet you they were listening earlier, all excited for Tom Izzo to
Michigan
come on
State
here.
Flag.
Oh, yeah.
Car flag waving around.
Immediately, Barnowski tweeted out, like, Sparty with a flag as soon as we said Izzo was going to be on the show. That's true. Josi would probably have a better chance. I mean, I don't know Izzo. I mean, he's a youper. He's a Michigan guy, but I just haven't heard much hockey talk from him. It's a good question.
Hey.
We're the only show in town's going to ask the tough questions like this, okay?
That is true.
Who's more likely to know each other, Josi or Izzo?
By the way, Hibbs texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, said Chris Rock recently played at Zanies, and it wasn't good at all. It's coming from Hibbs on the text line.
Really?
Off night for Chris Rock.
Huh, that's surprising.
I've never really found him all that funny, I'll be honest with
really?
You.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what it is about him. I just don't.
Wow. Have you watched his stand-up,
yeah,
like the specials that he had, like about 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Like no,
it's just,
not there,
I mean,
huh?
Some stuff. I mean, I'm not going to say I've watched the whole thing and have never laughed,
yeah.
But I just don't find him all that funny.
Huh.
Different strokes, different folks, man.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Big fan.
Bet he's a big fan of the Beatles.
That must be.
Yeah.
That probably all adds up together. Yeah.
What do you? We talked about this earlier. We'll get back to the Preds here in just a few minutes. What do you think of the new NFL overtime rule? You've got overtime rule that was approved yesterday by the National Football League, 29-3, the votes from the NFL owners. Now in the postseason, the overtime rule is both teams will be insured a possession. So no longer can you just score a touchdown on the first possession in the NFL in the postseason and win the game. The other team is guaranteed to get the ball. That is different from the regular season. They're leaving the regular season part of it alone and keeping it the same that it has been. What do you think of this decision by the NFL? And is this purely just a reaction to Buffalo and Kansas City this past year in the playoffs?
I think so. There's been other games in the past where people brought it up, but that for whatever reason, just massive outrage at that moment about the NFL's overtime rule because the Bills had the game won. The Bills' offense was completely dominating the game. And then, thanks to the Bills' defense, the Bills' offense never had any say in how it all turned out. But I just – I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand why you can't put any responsibility on the defense to get a stop to win a football game. Now, again, I have advocated for both offenses to have a chance with the college rule, which I love. So I would love the old college rule, or the first two overtime college rule. Both teams get at the 25. You take kicking out of the game. Well, you don't take kicking out of the game, but you take special team. You know, you start at the 25, see what you can do against their defense. I love it. I love college overtime rules. I think the NFL should have done it, and that is a both teams, you know, both offenses get a chance for sure situation. You alternate. I mean, I just think that's a great format. But the NFL, I mean, you know, like the Titans, so some of the reporting out of the owners' meetings is that the Titans' proposal, which was the other team gets the ball unless the team that gets it first scores and scores a two-point conversion, that was too, quote, non-traditional.
Yeah.
I mean, all of this is non-traditional. It's all messing around with the – I'm fine going back to just sudden death. Just go sudden death. If you get the ball and you're good enough to go get 50 yards and kick a field goal, then you win. I'm fine with that. So, I don't know. All of this is probably just soft society stuff.
Well, they've threw out
we're all soft.
A stat out there where apparently 7 of 12 games since 2010 in overtime in the playoffs have been won by the team that won the coin toss on the first possession. Now, again, I said this earlier in the show, but if you go back to 2010, the rule was also in place where you could just waltz down, kick a field goal, and the game was over. So it's not even the same rule that you're going back to in that amount of time where you're making, you know, that assertion. So I would love to know, since you made the switch, how many teams have won the coin toss and driven down the field and scored a touchdown in the first drive and the game was over.
Was the switch?
Was it 20? Is not that long ago, 2017, 2018, yeah. Somewhere like that. So, I mean, it hadn't been that long that you've had this new system in place. And again, to your point, you are allowed to play defense. It can happen. Like, you can make a stop. You can intercept the ball, which, by the way, Bengals did that in overtime against Kansas City and then won the game in the AFC title game. So it can happen. Like, we've seen these things take place before. You know, it doesn't necessarily bother me. I mean, no, I'm not going to sit here and just bemoan the NFL overtime system if both teams get a shot with the ball in overtime. But it just kind of feels like an unnecessary change. And we've got people on the text line saying it's an offensive game now, so you might as well let both teams get a chance to score. I mean, I get that, but
no.
Again, defense is part of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to get stops to win anything of significance in the NFL. That'll never change. You know, there have been teams that have won championships because they have elite offenses and average defenses, but terrible defense. A team with a terrible defense, someone correct me if I'm wrong, has never won a championship. So, guy gets stops, part of the game. But this doesn't bother me that much, other than it just seems like such a, like, we also had this sort of reaction to a playoff situation with the ability to contest a PI,
yeah.
Right? Which, honestly, I still think that should be in place just as a safeguard for an officiating blunder so huge that it gave you the wrong Super Bowl team. That's unforgivable.
I agree, although I will say, like, that when they had that in place, it was basically a waste of time because almost every time you reviewed a pass interference call, they're like, we're just sticking what we had on the field. I get it. You're trying to save yourself from what happened in the NFC title
game.
I get it. So
exactly.
I don't disagree with you. I it got pretty tiresome that one year of going to review pass interference calls and nothing ever changing.
Yeah. I mean, a couple got changed, but yes, they made it very clear. Like, basically, it's going to have to be
egregious.
Yeah. And there were a couple of egregious ones that didn't get changed. That's where it's like, okay, but this was egregious, guys. But still, I mean, the Rams were in the Super Bowl because an official failed to see a receiver got clobbered in front of the entire world.
Clotheslined.
Like, that's one of those. I mean, if there was ever a time when someone else in the crew needs to come in and say, hey, guys, this is going to be one of the all-time blunders. Like,
we got to fix this.
Throw a flag right now. Like, just throw it now. We'll look bad, but not as bad as we're about to look. Jeez. So this feels like that a little bit, an outrage in the playoffs. I just don't see why it was an outrage. I don't Get a stop. Yeah. Tackle someone. Cover someone.
What's the thing? Like, what makes me more upset about this is the fact, like, go back and look at that Buffalo-Kansas City game and look at the last drive in regulation for Kansas City. Like, you just
never should have happened.
It never should have happened. And I guess they just assume that, you know, Travis Kelce on that last drive, well, we don't need to cover him. It'd be fine. Just let him waltz right up there, man.
I mean, like, they did everything. They helped them as much as they could possibly help a team beat you.
I got a texter that asked, did they extend the time limit in overtime? I have not seen anything where the time limit has been extended.
No, I think it's going to be 10 minutes, though, right?
I think so. So that's both teams getting the ball, 10 minutes, and then I guess if both teams score a touchdown, I mean, there's this idea out there that all of a sudden these NFL coaches are just going to be going for two left and right in overtime, which I just – maybe on the second possession. Like, if you feel bad about your defense stopping the other team from getting a field goal, because it will turn into sudden death after both teams get, you know, the opportunity to score. Like, maybe if you're just so down on your defense and you're a team that says, all right, forget it, we're going for two right here for the win. Maybe that happens, but like if you're scoring the first touchdown, I don't know if I see a whole lot of coaches.
Yeah, I saw a lot of expectation that all of a sudden everybody's going to go for two. I mean, Brandon Staley might, but I don't buy that. Yeah, if you are like, man, there's no way our D is going to keep them from getting 40 yards and a field goal. Just let's try to win it right here. Yeah, I can see that sometimes. Okay. And if you know your offense is rolling and you got that defense tired and you got a perfect play, but I don't think it's going to be nearly as much as people think.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. .5 The Game has one final chance for you to win with our 4-team game bracket challenge. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge to play for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Shinedown coming up at Bridgestone Arena on May the 4th. The game bracket challenge brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Grill in Spring Hill, Days Delta 8, and Wager. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are scheduled to be joined by Adam Vinkin at 9:30 from The Athletic.
Or is he conspiring with Izzo and Yossi to diss us?
See if we could go 1-for-3 today.
We all just got ditched, guys.
It'd be good stuff.
Ditched by Izzo and Yossi. Maybe the Sparty lovers over there at the Preds were mad that Izzo didn't come on, so they told Yossi not to come on with us too. Is that what's happening?
Maybe so.
This could all be one big chain reaction.
Nate on the text line says, what do y'all think of the XFL rule that I didn't know before D-May said something yesterday? Put the ball at the 50, have one guy from each team go for it, and that team gets the ball first. Hardcore dodgeball.
I mean, yeah.
It'd be interesting.
Okay. I'm in with that.
Been real good for the Titans in the days of Chris Johnson, I guess. Get the ball first every time.
That's true.
Who's the fastest player on the Titans right now?
Like, and in this context, it's not just fastest, but like quickest starter.
Yeah.
I would probably throw Christian Fulton out there.
Yeah.
Would that be about right?
If Caleb Farley's healthy, maybe.
Yeah, but you're not going to send him out there with his, hey, Caleb, why don't you go out there and just smash into someone to get the ball for overtime? You haven't had any back issues, have you?
All you got to do is get down, just win the race, get the ball.
Yeah. I think Fulton.
Just like
I would have said Darrington Evans.
Would just Superman dive, Superman kick out there, be good stuff.
Yeah. Darrington Evans would have gotten it, but he no longer.
Pulled his hamstring at 25-yard line.
Someone signed Darrington Evans, is that right? Or am I wrong about that?
I believe that they did. Let me look this up.
Let's take the show to a grinding halt.
To see where Darrington Evans is playing football.
Maybe Izzo or Yossi will call in this gap. Chicago Bears. There you go.
So good luck to Darrington in Chicago.
Yeah. All right.
Hope he does well.
Good luck, Darrington.
Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got a texter that says, what if the first team takes 8 minutes in overtime and scores a touchdown, and then the next team gets the ball with 2 minutes to score or they lose? When the playoffs, like, is time really a factor? Like, it's a factor in the regular season, and they put 10 minutes on the clock because in the regular season, if you don't get it figured out, you tie. Like, there's no tie in the playoffs. I remember, like, do they have time on the clock in the playoffs?
They
do. It doesn't really matter.
I remember a Browns-Jets playoff game from the 80s that definitely went at least to the second overtime. Yeah, they have a clock. Yeah.
Why do they have a clock?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. I mean, I guess basically just to set when they're going to go to commercial again.
I guess.
You know? I mean, I mean, you're right. If it's sudden death and you're going to determine the game, just okay, then just sudden death until someone turned. But, yeah, they did have a clock, and they went into the second overtime. But, I mean, I can't keep up anymore with, you know. Now I got to go back and Google that game.
Alden in Nashville texting, it says, it's not an overcorrection. Now instead of a team who gets the ball first having the advantage, the team that gets it second will. If the first team has a 4th and 5 on their own 35, they'd probably punt. If the second team gets the ball after the first team scored and they had the same 4th and 5, they're going to go for it. Additionally, second team would be more likely to go for 2 to win the game. This is coming from Alden in Nashville on the text line. I definitely agree with the second part. Like, you're much more likely to go for 2. Have the ball second. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Caleb and Gallatin texting in says, I kind of like the old rule better, but if next season the Titans got scored on in overtime of a playoff game, I will be very happy that they get another chance. I think most people won't like the change, but once their team is in a situation, they'll love it. That's right. Coming from Caleb from Gallatin.
Yeah, whichever side. Yeah, if your team's on the side that just gave up points, then you love this rule. And then you flip it around and you're like, this was so dumb.
Gator Tim texts you.
Jeez,
and says,
Gator Tim.
Bud Dupree is the fastest to cash that check that he doesn't earn.
Wow.
From Gator Tim on the text line. Wow.
Who knew that Bud Dupree would just get attacked?
Just go back to the
like this
Kentucky Wildcat days. Gator Tim upset.
Oh.
I don't know.
That what it is. Okay. Some Kentucky shade.
I got a texter that says Darrington Evans would pull up hurt after 5 yards and be out for the season. His recent history
got a
would
chance
indicate
to rip
that
him
that
too.
Maybe
right.
Would be the chance. A little feisty on the text line in the 9 o'clock hour.
I guess so, man.
Good gracious!
Come on, your team signed Robert Woods. Your team signed Austin Hooper. You know, things are looking up, right?
They are. By the way, some breaking news on the NHL front: Tanner Jeannot has been fined $2,000, the maximum allowable under the CBA for kneeing Brady Tkachuk last night. I didn't love that one from Jeannot last night. So he's been fined $2,000 for that.
It was a Granlund elbow, too, that didn't get called. That was a little bit,
Yeah.
The bad boys.
Preds are like the 17 ducks out there, man. Just throwing the body around.
There you go. Do you think Corey Perry will end up here at some point?
Well, maybe. I mean,
the rate
he's going.
That would be for Preds fans.
Yeah, get to the cup final. You got a chance to sign Corey Perry the next year. Although I think he's a 2-year deal with Tampa this time. Thomas
Lucky
texting
them.
In says, it'd have to be Henry running the ball at midfield. Imagine him barreling at you 50 yards pace. Thanks, guys. That would be something. Like if there was a collision and Derrick Henry had a 50-yard head start, I like his chances.
You know who actually would be good? The same kind of idea, who, you know, wasn't a great player and you know, we'll see where things go. But like Rashawn Evans, just in terms of speed and power, like if he like knows where to go, boom, right? Like you want to get the heck out of his way.
Rashawn Evans has visited with the Jaguars and the Falcons as well. So, I mean, Arthur Smith, Dean Pease, Falcons kind of make some sense for Rashawn Evans.
Yeah, and I mean, his second year, which was Dean Pease's last year, was his best year. So I could totally see that. It totally makes sense to me. And he's, you know, I think he's going to be signed at a discount rate, which is not a bad thing if you're the Falcons. You know, a guy who still young, still can get better. Just, yeah, it didn't all come together for him.
Well, and I don't think we've discussed this all that much, but Jayon Brown on the Raiders as well. So, I mean, we knew that Evans and Brown would probably be gone this year, but I think Evans for sure is going to be gone, and Jayon Brown signing with the Las Vegas Raiders. So, at linebacker, you're looking at Cunningham, you're looking at David Long Jr., and you got Monty Rice that you drafted last year as well. So that's kind of the linebacking core that you're going with at the moment.
Yeah, it's a good situation. It's very different. You know, Rashawn Evans I thought was clear. I mean, it was clear when they drafted Monty Rice. Jayon Brown it was nice for them to have him last year when he couldn't really find anything out there. Good for him to find something. Jayon Brown made a lot of plays. Like, if you could combine Jayon Brown's, you know, feel for the game with Rashawn Evans' physical skills, you'd have a
heck of a player.
One heck of a player.
Yeah. George on the text line says, although Juice had a good game last night, How concerned are you about load management? If he gets hurt in the next 2 weeks, should the Preds regret not trading for a veteran goaltender before the deadline? This is coming from George on the text line.
If you lose him, you're screwed, okay?
Yeah.
So you could have traded for whatever veteran goaltender you wanted. You're screwed.
I mean, Big Save Dave come in there and play well, but I have my doubts.
But, I mean, to the point, to the question about load management, let's see. You got a Florida Pittsburgh back to back coming up. Chicago St. Louis back to back coming up. Tampa Bay, Minnesota. So there's three right there. There's four back to backs.
Four back to backs left.
Left in the season. So there's going to be some work for Big Save Dave.
Well, and I wouldn't be surprised if, like, eventually he gets a start that's not a back to back.
Yeah.
That would probably mean good things for your team if he's getting a start that's not a back-to-back.
That's the thing. What's your situation? I mean, can you get to the point where you're kind of locked in where you are before that final road trip to Colorado and Arizona? That'd be pretty big deal for Saros going into the postseason.
Yeah, and it was good to see him play well last night. We talked about it. I mean, he's been struggling. And really, the team around him has been struggling too. And look, they had a few glaring turnovers last night, a few decisions with the puck that were not good, and Saros came up big. And, you know, the expectation for him is so high based on the way that he's played that when he dips a little bit, you start to look around and you say, what's going on with UC Saros? But impressive response from him last night. I did wonder if the Predators would go with him yesterday or if they'd give him maybe a day off. They did not, and they go with Saros last night, and then now a couple of days before you take on Buffalo coming up on Friday as well.
And then when he plays that well,
hard to sit him.
Yeah, you probably don't even think about sitting him Friday now, right? He'll get rest at some point.
After the season.
I mean, he'll, yeah.
He's going to play well. When UC Saros has played every game from here until then, he will get some rest at that point.
Just skating around, holding the cup over his head.
Good to see Michael McCarron score a couple goals last night. I tell you what, like when they put him in this year, I kept waiting to be like, all right, so when's this going to stop? Because Michael McCarron was in there last year at different points too. Was not impressed with Michael McCarron last year. He's been pretty darn good in that role that they've asked him to play so far this year. Six goals on the season, two more last night, and really, scoring aside, he's been pretty good on that fourth line. Impressed with Michael McCarron.
Young players getting better. It's a really important part of even pro sports.
Yeah.
Pro athletes can change during their careers.
Former first-round pick. Montreal's looking around like, hey, where was this, man? What's going on here?
And then former second-round pick, Lozon. What do you think? What do you think of him right now?
It needs to be better. Now, he's also playing in a role right now where he doesn't need to be playing. And Chris Mason kind of talked about that yesterday. Like, he's not a top-four defenseman. So I'd be interested to see what it looks like when he's playing, 13 minutes a game rather than 20 minutes a game. But it has not been great out there so far. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Adam Vingan from The Athletic.
We think.
He covers the Nashville Predators. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in Adam Vingan from The Athletic, presented by Bank of England Mortgage, a better mortgage experience. Adam, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I heard you got stood up twice today.
We did. We were wondering if you're going to be 3-for-3.
Yeah, I thought this was a conspiracy.
Well, that's Roman Yossi standing you up is surprising. For some reason, I'm not surprised that Tom Izzo did.
We think the Izzo one was just a big joke on Rex Road. That's what I'm choosing to believe.
Coach K would never.
No, absolutely not.
Very acceptable that I'm on your show now.
What a terrible impression.
I'm working on it.
What do you think of your Duke Blue Devils and their chances to win this thing?
Oh, man. I'm not looking forward to Saturday's game at all. It's making me very nervous. What's also making me very nervous is Rex Road. I went to our Duke North Carolina hub page at theathletic.com, and all of the experts, including yourself, picked Duke to win.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that either.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta put yourself out there emotionally, Vingan. I think they're going to win. But if they don't, ooh, man.
It'd be a tough one.
Double whammy from Carolina. You thought you were done. And think about the parades in Chapel Hill. My goodness. You got to put yourself out there, Vingan.
I remember the first time I went to Chapel Hill. My dad and I decided to do, this was like 15, 20 years ago. My dad decided to do a Carolina-Duke doubleheader. And Carolina was playing Binghamton, which is my dad's undergrad alma mater. And then Duke was playing later in the day. And I think I had my Duke shirt on in Chapel Hill. And we were about to walk into a store. And on the storefront, there was like a no smoking sign, except it was the Duke D in the middle. So I had to put a sweatshirt on.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about it. I'm very nervous about it.
Kind of amazing that he's made it to this point. Pretty incredible. Adam,
yeah.
Big win for the Preds last night. Not necessarily in terms of the opponent, but just to get the 2 points. Now you've beaten Philly, you've beaten Ottawa, taking on Buffalo coming up on Friday. What do you think about the Predators and where their game is right now, especially with the injuries that they've had on the back end?
Well, I think I found it humorous last night after the game. Our friend Brooks Bratton asked John Hines what his thoughts were on the game. And he goes, I have a lot of thoughts about this game. You could tell that John wasn't particularly pleased with the process. Of course, they took, 5 penalties in the first period, including 3 in the first 5 minutes, and that led to Ottawa's only goal on a 5-on-3 advantage. UC Saros played out of his mind last night, and John Hines recognized that. Basically, UC Saros saved their bacon. And, you know, when you look back at the game against Philadelphia as well, I think it's good that they're winning because they need to continue to pick up points. And once you get to the postseason, you don't get style points for winning. But I do think there are aspects of their game that have slipped a little bit, despite winning these 2 games against lesser competition. So I think you can feel good if you're a Predators fan about the win, and I'm sure the team feels good about picking up consecutive wins. But there are certain things about their process that seem a little bit out of whack right now. And I think that this game against Buffalo is going to be important for them, at least according to John, to try to get back on track in that regard.
Yeah, they're not playing their best, but I feel like last night still counts as a plus just because the Saros concern, you know, was getting there a little bit. It doesn't take much, I guess, when a guy's been playing at the level he's played at for the last couple seasons, but I thought last night was big maybe for him moving forward, you know, to do what he did. Because like you said, I mean, he did save their bacon. I mean, that first period could have been an out-of-control game if he didn't make some of the saves he made.
No, absolutely. And he made a ton of saves early on some of Ottawa's early power play chances, faced a lot of high-quality looks from the Senators' power play. And then, of course, we remember the 2-on-0 that he stopped. You know, a lot of, I think Robbie talked about this earlier, some less than ideal puck management from the Predators as of late. I feel like they've had a lot of turnovers that have led to good opportunities for the other team. I think of the goal against the Flyers. Was it Matt Benning at the point?
Yep.
You know, couldn't control the puck and led to a breakaway goal that I believe made it 3-1 at the time for the Flyers. You know, and that might have to do with some of those injuries on the back end that Robbie alluded to. You know, it's good to have Matt Benning back in the fold, but they're still missing Mark Borowiecki and they're still missing Dante Fabro. So, you know, fortunately, they still have Roman Josi, Matthias Ekholm, and Alex Carrier back there. You know, I think Jeremy Lauzon has been solid. I think he made some less than great plays last night. I think he made the turnover, Robbie, correct me if I'm wrong, that led to the 2-on-0.
He did.
I think he's acquitted himself well. But, yeah, the sooner they can get back Fabro and Borowiecki to shore up that defense, I think the better.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, where do you come down on the Norris Trophy race? I'm not asking you to, you know, tell us who you're going to vote for or anything, but what do you make of this race between Yossi and Makar, and, you know, Hedman and Fox have been thrown in there too? How do you kind of view this race right now, and what do you think it's ultimately going to come down to if Roman Yossi is going to win his second Norris Trophy?
Now, oftentimes the voting for the Norris Trophy has been criticized for giving the award to the defenseman that scores the most points. And when Erik Karlsson won his Norris trophies multiple, if I'm not mistaken, that was a large reason why, because he was an excellent offensive minded defenseman. That being said, if Roman Yossi is able to get to 100 points, which would make him the first defenseman in 30 years to do that, and the other five defensemen in history that have done that, either once or multiple times, all of whom are in the Hockey Hall of Fame, I would have a hard time ignoring that as a voter. I think Makar has been fabulous. I think we sometimes gloss over how solid Roman is in his own zone because we look at the points and we look at how elite he is in transition in terms of getting the puck up the ice and having the puck on his stick. But Roman is a solid defenseman in his own end. He's not a liability on the ice in the defensive zone. I am very curious to see how this shakes out. I think it could be, you know, perhaps the closest Norris Trophy vote in history when you throw in Hedman as well, who's been a finalist for, what, five consecutive years, six Yep. consecutive years? He's always in there. Adam Fox won it last year. You know, but to me, if Roman is able to reach 100 points, that to me, although it is, again, looking at points, but doing that, something that hasn't been done in three decades, would be hard for me to ignore as a voter.
Well, since we're talking awards, what is Tanner Janot at, 23?
Yep.
Yeah.
A guy who, you know, really doesn't get power play time. He's at 23 goals. Why would he not be more of a Calder factor?
You know what? That's a good question. I think when you look at who might be, you know, in the running for that award, you look at Lucas Raymond in Detroit. You look at Mo Cedar. I'm always hesitant to pronounce his last name because I think I'm doing it wrong. In Detroit, you know, I feel like the top rookies have sort of been decided. But to me, I think Tanner Janot, you know, certainly deserves, you know, the opportunity to be a finalist. I mean, as you mentioned, he leads rookies in goals. He leads rookies in hits. And the one thing that he's doing that some of his contemporaries aren't doing is he's scoring these goals with almost no power play time. A lot of the other players who are high-scoring rookies specifically in the NHL often are getting the plum assignments, the offensive zone starts, the power play time. Tanner's not getting those. You know, he starts a lot of shifts in the defensive zone, he's playing tough matchups, he's not getting any power play time, and yet he's doing this pretty much all at even strength. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, he'll still end up in the top five in voting, but of course only the top three are finalists. You know, I would have him in my top three right now, but I don't know if the voting block at large will. And that's an interesting debate to have.
Adam Vigan from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Bank of England Mortgage, a better mortgage experience. Adam, thanks for taking time to join us this morning. We'll talk to you down the road. Good luck to your Blue Devils this weekend.
All right, Joe. And don't ever do a Mike Krzyzewski impression again.
Adam, trust in us Saturday. We'll win for you, buddy.
That was terrible. That was the worst one
of all time.
That was the worst I've ever done.
What was that?
I don't know what the heck that was.
The other one was better, which is saying something. That one was bad.
Yeah, on demand, it gets worse. Hey, but live tweet some reactions of you at certain points of the game Saturday, please.
Oh my God! if you want, my wife could certainly make a buck or two live streaming me watching.
Oh yes, so, I'd sign up for it.
Thank you, Adam. We appreciate you, brother.
All right. See you guys.
Adam Vigan from The Athletic.
Hey, we got a guest. We got a scheduled guest who joined us today. Yay!
Big day. here on the program. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. By the way, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1:30 for the Toyota Owners 400 at Richmond Raceway. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers with the venerable Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on 102.5 The Game. Big vocabulary for me today. It's going well.
So you're saying Chase is old?
Wise.
Yeah.
He's, nice recovery, Robbie.
He's a week in Vegas wiser.
Yeah, he is. Awesome. Nice ensemble he has on today, too. Fourth time I've used that word.
Yeah, ensemble's a very good word. Sounds like Chase and Ricky had a good time in Vegas.
It does, and they made it back. That's always good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Nate texting in, "Don't listen to Adam, Joe. Keep up the awesome Coach K impressions." So at least one fan of the Coach K impressions that you do.
That's on the record. Someone approves of it. It can't be that terrible then. Well, thank you, Nate. You just fueled me
to continue to do this.
It's getting worse, though. Yeah, it's getting worse.
I think it started off much better than it is now.
Yeah.
Back to basics, Joe. You're overthinking it. You're getting nervous.
Christian and Grayson, JJ.
Unacceptable.
Yeah. Dang it. I don't know. I'm in my own head.
Be quiet.
Yeah. I mean, we won't have that much longer to do Coach K impersonations.
No. You
know? Got to get him in now.
Unless he wins the Natty this year and says, you know what? Why not? I've got six. Let's go for seven. I mean, could he pull a Brady and unretire before he basically even retires?
He could. It's a little different when someone has already, like, signed a contract to replace you in your job.
There's
I guess he could.
He'll just step in midseason if the team's not looking too good. He'll be like, yeah, move over.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's already, like, had a bunch of losses taken off his own record because, you know, he had his back hurt.
Yeah.
But anyway, maybe we can get Izzo on here to do a Coach K impersonation this week.
Maybe so. The Hall of Fame show today.
Yeah. Good times. Izzo's revenge.
Ron on the text line says, so how many big paydays do elite receivers get in a career? I was thinking two, maybe three if they stay healthy. What do you guys think?
It's not three.
It's two.
Yeah. And that's typically you're looking, it's going to be a four-year deal usually. So if A.J. Brown's got that, and then, you know, at 29, if all goes well, then he can have another one. But, yeah, it's not three. Unless you're Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
Somebody who plays forever. I mean, I guess, I don't know, how long did Andre Johnson play?
Long enough to be a Titans legend.
That's right. That's right. Long enough to catch a winning touchdown pass. Who was a more impactful Hall of Fame Titans receiver, Andre Johnson or Julio Jones? We know that Randy Moss would come in last.
We do.
Andre Johnson or Julio Jones?
Slight edge to Julio.
Yeah.
Great pass by Marcus on that catch, though.
He's
the best pass in Marcus's career, and I'm not joking.
He snuck it in there, man. I think that was fourth and goal, if I'm not mistaken.
In Detroit, wasn't it?
It was.
Oh, man.
Sure was. Yeah, Matt Stafford and the Lions thought they had something special brewing.
Not
then,
to be.
Mariota to Andre Johnson happened. Yeah, I'd give Julio the slight edge, too, because he did not have a game-winning touchdown catch. But, again, he was largely responsible for one win at least. So, it was close, though.
It is close. I'm interested to see where he ends up. I mean, obviously, he's still out there. You know, I think some teams have probably tried to sign him at this point, but he's looking for, I think Schefter put this out, looking for, I can't remember the phrase Schefter used. Was it a fair deal or deals that they feel like they deserve at this point in their careers? And I'm sitting there looking at Julio Jones, and I'm like, all right, you could barely be on the field this year. And 2 years ago, you got hurt and missed seven games. What sort of deal do you think you're going to get at 33 years old?
Yeah. I mean, look, someone may hit the jackpot because all of a sudden he gets healthy and he's still really good. I could still see him being a good player, but he's probably going to be disappointed. And I'm sure he has been disappointed by the market for him at this point. It happens fast in this league.
Have you heard the Lamar Jackson chatter out there that maybe he's – apparently he represents himself, which I didn't know this. But maybe he's maybe looking to get out of Baltimore because they've not really talked about an extension as of yet. Well, Lamar Jackson has just tweeted, I love my Ravens. I don't know who the hell keeps putting that false narrative out that I'm having thoughts about leaving. Stop trying to read my mind. Sad emoji. Angry emoji. It's coming from Lamar Jackson.
Well, it came for their owner said something yesterday. I mean, he's the one who put out there, like, we've put it in his court. Right? I mean, that's what that's how I took it. Is that basically he kind of made it sound like Biscotti tried to make it sound like Lamar Jackson is sort of indifferent on trying to get a new deal done. So, but that's probably good news for Ravens fans to see that from Lamar this morning.
I heard Jared talking about this the other day, and it's an interesting discussion. If you're Lamar Jackson and you see what Deshaun Watson just got, 5 years, $230 million, fully guaranteed. You shooting for that? You shooting above that if you're Lamar Jackson? I mean, he has won playoff games. He has won a league MVP. Deshaun Watson has done not that. He's not been a league MVP. You shooting that high if you're Lamar Jackson?
Well, you're shooting that high. He's a tough one to – like, look, I think Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, what he does is so unique, but it's also what they do is so unique. I mean, I think he'd be a good quarterback anywhere, but I don't know. That's going to be really interesting. Like, I would personally pay more money. I would find more value in Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. And granted, Deshaun Watson, even with everything that comes with it, but I'm just talking about as a football player.
Sure.
And a few other guys in the league, too. But I could see him possibly getting that.
You think he might need to hire an agent?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. I would go ahead and do that. 3%, man. You know, it's worth it.
Maybe he's really good at just handling this himself. I don't know. Like, if it's that simple, like, hey, I want a 5-year, $235 million contract. Right, that's what I want.
You know, your agent brings the research and sure. You know, helps argue the case, like, you know, basically serves as your lawyer in negotiations. I think that's worthwhile. The reason the agents are so important in this league, they basically run it.
Yeah. Adam Schefter loves him some agents. No question about that.
That he does.
We'll see what happens on that front. You know, Ravens Twitter yesterday was kind of freaking out a little bit. What if Lamar leaves? What if he's looking for greener pastures somewhere else? I don't know that I see Lamar wanting to leave Baltimore. By the way, they just gave John Harbaugh a 3-year extension, so he's going to coach the Ravens for his entire life, apparently.
Yeah. It's just a good situation for him. Not that if he went anywhere else, you know, the team in question would do things around him and would try to maximize his skill set, but I just think the Ravens have that figured out pretty well. Now, is that going to get them a championship at any point? You know, I don't know.
Dustin in Hopkinsville on the text line says Julio was a big factor in at least 3 or 4 games, a few long ball catches. So giving the edge to Julio over Andre Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, the Seattle game was way better than anything Andre Johnson did here. And Andre Johnson was what? He was released probably by October, right? He was definitely released before the season ended in 2016.
Was he released or did he retire?
Oh, maybe he did retire. You know, maybe what it was he sort of fell out of the rotation. And you know, think about that, too. I mean, you're talking about that receiving core was like Rishard Matthews and, you know, Kendall Wright, you know, basically. But, you know, Tajay Sharpe is a rookie. But, yeah, that might have been it. That might have been it, that he decided to just, all right, that's it then.
Yeah, he retired on, I think, Halloween of 2016.
There you go.
Just said, you know what? That's it. I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of falling out of the rotation a little bit. But he did. He had the big win.
Yeah. We'll always have that.
Over the Honolulu Blue and Silver.
Speaking of retiring, we're going to retire for the day here on Robbie and Rex. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Best show ever.
Darren Donnegan Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.